Ang sentro ng Ebanghelyo ay ang kamatayan ng ating Panginoong Hesus. At ang dahilan kung bakit siya ay namatay ay dahil sa kasalanan. So ang ibig po sabihin nun, the proclamation of the gospel is incomplete if we do not address the issue of sin. This means we need to explain that men and women are sinners and are therefore under the wrath of God if we want to present the gospel properly. Unfortunately, talking about sin and God's wrath is not acceptable in our contemporary culture. Pero kailangan natin gawin yun kung magiging tama ang ating pangunawa sa Diyos at kung i-recognize natin ang ating Panginoong Jesus as our Savior correctly. As I've been highlighting in my first session, na dahil ang mga tao, hindi nila kilala si God, hindi nila naiintindihan na kaya pala nila tatanggapin si Jesus dahil si Jesus ang mediator, no, between ourselves and God. So, pag wala ang Diyos sa litrato, anong gagawin ni Jesus? Saan niya tayo minimediate? No, so, importante yon. It's unfortunate that the subject of sin and God's judgment is out of vogue, not only in society in general, but even in some evangelical circles. No, malungkot eh, hindi lamang sa labas, kundi kahit sa loob ng iglesia, parang ayaw pag-usapan patungkol sa kasalanan. I remember in Davao City, we have a school. Katulad nga na nabanggit sa intro about myself, I'm the school administrator and school pastor of Solideo Gloria Christian Academy. Now, one day, meron pong mga magulang na ipu-pull out nila yung kanilang mga anak. And they were even convincing other parents to do the same. And the reason is because yung kanilang pastor, ma-attend sila sa isang mega church sa Davao City, at yung pastor na kanilang yung pastor na ina-attenda nila, sinabihan sila na huwag niyo ipapasok yung mga anak niyo diyan sa Solideo Gloria kasi ang babata pa ng mga yan, tinuturuan na patungkol sa kasalanan at galit ang Panginoon Diyos sa kanila. So for this pastor, it was wrong to teach small children that they are sinners and going to hell. At ang kanyang utak, tulad ng utak ng mundo, the children should rather be taught about their good nature and we need to boost their self-esteem, all of that sort of thing. But what we're teaching in our school simply reflects the teaching of Scripture and the method of Scripture evangelism. David, for example, said in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Solomon, sabi niya sa Proverbs 22 verse 15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Sabi ng International Standard Version, yung kanyang translation nitong verse na ito, "A child's heart has a tendency to do wrong." Ganda ng translation eh, no? "A child's heart has a tendency to do wrong, but the rod of discipline removes it far away from him." I believe that the earlier the kids realize by God's grace that they are sinners and therefore exposed to the wrath of God, the sooner they will repent of their sins and put their trust in Christ so that they will be delivered from God's judgment. It's interesting to note that in the 17th to the 19th centuries, the book from which most of the children of colonial America learned their ABCs was what's called the New England Primer. Now, dun natuto ang milyong-milyong mga bata ng kanilang ABC. Now, this also presented, itong children's book na to, presented the elements of the gospel. And some of the things that were emphasized in the book included the fact that children were sinful by nature. It talked about the certainty of death, lalo na kasi nung panahon nila noon, wala pa yung mga vaccination na meron tayo ngayon, ang agang namamatay ng mga bata. Pagka umabot ng mga 30 years old yung bata, very good. Pero madalas namamatay sila ng maaga pa. And so, kailangan turuan na sila regarding the certainty of death, regarding God's judgment. And the only way to escape God's judgment is to receive Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible. For example, paano sila magturo ng alphabet? Pakinggan ninyo. A, tapos yung kanilang, yung page nung kung saan may alphabet, may mga woodcut illustrations. A, ito ang nakalagay, merong mga short poetry. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned. B, heaven to find the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. D, the deluge drowned the earth around. E, Elijah hid by ravens fed. F, the judgment made Felix afraid. Tinan niyo, doon pa lamang, talagang ABC pa lang, tinuturuan na sila kung ano ang ebanghelyo. And this is what we find, and all of this is based on the New Testament approach of presenting the gospel. And this is what we find particularly in Paul's presentation of the gospel in the book of Romans. Now, the presentation of the gospel in this book first started with the bad news before the good news. And today, gusto kong ipakita yun sa inyo. I want us to look at the first three chapters of the book of Romans, and my objective in today's study is for all of us to see more clearly Paul's approach in his gospel presentation and then stir up our hearts to align our evangelism methods to Paul's. Parang yun yung isang bagay na kailangan nating matutunan eh. Mga pastor na tayo. Pero kailangan nating mabalikan na ito talaga yung paraan ng Bible eh. Kaya ang sabi ko kanina, na if we really want to find out paano ba talaga mag-present ng Bible, tingnan natin yung approach nila Paul. Paano ba nila ginawa? Paano ba nag-preach ng gospel si Jesus Christ? Ganon din dapat ang paraan natin. Imbis na magpadala tayo sa bagong methods, balikan natin ang sabi ng Scripture. Ito yung final authority natin, is sola scriptura. So we must make the Bible's final authority and it should bind our conscience and our beliefs, even our methodology. So, lalo na pag pinag-usapan natin ang Ebanghelyo. Now look at this. When Paul had the opportunity to explain his gospel in a more systematic way, he began with God and the response of God towards man's sin. Paul spent too much ink to explain the bad news before he presented the good news. And until people are convinced of their fallen condition and God's condemnation, they will not see their urgent need to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Patatagalin pa nila yung pagtanggap sa Panginoong Jesus. Pag hindi nila naintindihan, ito pala ang kondisyon ko sa mata ng Panginoon. Galit pala ang Panginoon Diyos sa atin. If this is the approach of the Bible, then this should also be our approach when we evangelize. Okay, so let's jump into the first three chapters of Romans. The book of Romans is the longest, sabi ng ESV Study Bible, it is the longest and most systematically reasoned of Paul's letters. Pinakamahaba, pinakasystematic. And it is extremely important to note how Paul structures the book. Paano niya ini-structure yon? The first three chapters of this letter, with the exception of the introduction and the theme of the letter, are dedicated to the doctrine of condemnation. For three chapters, the apostle has this one objective, to prove the sinfulness of all humanity and why everyone, apart from Christ, is under the wrath of God. Yun ang kanyang objective dito sa unang bahagi nitong tatlong chapters na to. First, etong ginawa ni Paul. He opens the letter with his greetings and introduction in chapter 1, verses 1 up to 15. So, yun ang kanyang intro. Yun ang kanyang greetings. Pagkatapos nun, Paul immediately introduces the theme of the book, yung tema, which we see in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Yun ang tema ng buong libro. Sabi doon, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, itong dalawang verses na to show that the gospel is about the revelation of God's righteousness. Now, alam niyo, when I check several commentaries, iba-iba pang perspective regarding ano ba talaga itong pinag-usapan when you talk of the righteousness of God. Pero for me, I'm kind of comfortable and convinced with itong view na ipepresent ko sa inyo what righteousness of God means. Una, it has several aspects, I believe. First, it refers to the absolute moral perfection of God. Yun ang isang ibig sabihin ng righteousness of God. God's righteousness is essential to His very nature. Hindi ito isang bagay that He decides to do. Kunyari ako, gusto kong papakita ako ng kabutihan dito sa taong ito para medyo maganda naman ang tingin niya sa akin. Hindi ganun ang Panginoon Diyos. That is essential to His nature. Hindi pwedeng gawin ng Panginoon Diyos na hindi siya magpakita ng kanyang righteousness. It is His essence. And being a righteous God, He loves righteousness with all His being. And He hates everything contrary to that, yung kanyang nature. Galit siya doon with perfect hatred. Hindi pwedeng hindi magalit ang Panginoon Diyos doon sa mga bagay na kontra sa kanyang character. Part ng nature niya yun eh. Hindi niya pwedeng sabihin lang, pipikit ako ng aking mata, takpang ko tenga ko, hindi ko nalang papansin ito, patatawarin ko na lang. Hindi pwede. Nagre-react ang kanyang, ang being ng Panginoon sa mga bagay na kontra sa kanyang pagkatao, kumbaga. Thus, He cannot be morally neutral or apathetic towards the character and works of men or angels, but He will judge them with perfect justice. Now, when you think seriously about this, this implies, ang ibig sabihin nito, ang pinakamalaking problema ng tao ay ang righteousness ng Panginoon Diyos. Yan ang malaking problema ng tao. Bakit ko nasabi yun? Because if a man wants to have a relationship with God, God demands only one thing of him, that he live a life of absolute moral perfection without flaw or failure every moment of the day of his life. Kung gusto mo magkaroon ng relasyon sa Panginoon Diyos, dapat ganun ka. Kung ano character niya, perfect siya, dapat ikaw perfect rin. Kasi pag hindi, patay ka sa Panginoon Diyos. Yan ang malaking problema ng tao. Huwag nating kalimutan, isang beses lang nagkamali si Adan. Anong nadala nito para sa buong mundo? Lahat tayo nagkasala kay Adan. Ang buong mundo na pa sa ilalim ng sumpa ng Panginoon Diyos just because of one sin. And when you even think about it, ano ba yung nagawa niyang kasalanan? Sinabi lang na huwag mong kainin mula dito sa prutas from the tree of the knowledge and of good and evil, because if you do it, you will surely die. Parang sabihin natin, yun lang ang kasalanan niya. Pero ito ay nagpapakita ng absolute moral perfection of God. Ibang klase, Panginoon Diyos. Ang baba na kasi ng pananaw ng mga tao tungkol sa Diyos, na sabi nga kanina ni Pastor Eric, na minsan tingin ng mga tao sa Diyos, parang tao rin. Konsentidor. No. He is not a cosmic grandfather na konsentidor, na lolo, na, sige, okay lang gawin mo yan. Yung nanay, tatay mo, pagagalitan ka, pero okay lang sa akin. Hindi ganun ang Panginoon Diyos. He is perfect. He is absolutely perfect in His moral character. So, that is one aspect of the righteousness of God. But, I also think that the righteousness of God refers to Christ's perfect righteousness. Diba, sabi nga ni Jesus, I and my Father are one. So, kung ano yung perfect righteousness si God, yun din ang perfect righteousness si Christ. It means Christ's every thought, word and deed. By the way, I'm reading from Paul Washer now. Sabi niya, Christ's every thought, word and deed conformed to the will of God without the slightest derivation. Every moment of His life, He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything he did, even the most menial tasks of eating and drinking, he did for the glory of his God. Thus, the Father could always testify of him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Kita niya, sobrang tuwa ni God the Father sa kanya. Kasi lahat ng ginagawa ni Jesus Christ, nagkokonforme sa character ng Panginoon Diyos. Walang bahid ng kasalanan sa Panginoong Jesus. Christ's righteousness is the only righteousness that God approves. Christ's righteousness perfectly matches God's perfect law and holy character. And Christ's righteousness is what man needs so that he can stand before God and be delivered from his wrath and condemnation. Yan ngayon ang dahilan bakit kailangan natin itong righteousness na galing sa Panginoon Diyos sa pamagitan ng Panginoong Jesus, because kung nasa atin yon, then pag lumapit tayo kay God at nakita ni God ang righteousness si Christ sa atin, okay tayo sa Kanya. And the gospel reveals that this righteousness of Christ will be imputed or placed in the account of the person who believes in Christ. And this is all by grace. This is the gift of God apart from works. At yan ang makikita natin in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 up to 26. Yan ang titingnan natin bukas, the Lord willing. No, so, yun yung heart of the gospel, yung Romans 3, 21 to 26. Now, please notice, ang binasa natin kanina, yung theme, Romans 1, 16 and 17. No, yung righteousness of Christ na paliwanag nandun sa Romans 3, 21 to 26. Ang layo, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans 3, 21 to 26. Ang layo nung talon. Anong napapansin natin ditong ginawa ni Paul? Pagkatapos sabihin ni Paul ang theme about the gospel, he did not immediately jump into the good news which is found in Romans 3, 21 to 26. Hindi siya tumalon kaagad doon. Ang layo pa ng distansya. In Romans 3, 21 to 26, Paul presents the heart of the gospel. He shows us the means to receive the righteousness of God which is by faith in Christ apart from works. Yun yung nandito sa Romans 3. He will also introduce there the concepts about justification, redemption, and propitiation. But Paul does not jump there immediately. Hindi siya dun tumalong kagad. Itong positive aspects of the gospel will have to wait. Kailangan niya munang ipresent the bad news. Kita nyo, dito muna tayo sa gitna. Diba? Itong tema, Romans 1, 16, 17. Ito yung good news. Hindi siya dumiretso doon. Ang dami niya munang sinabi sa gitna nun, merong halos tatlong chapter bago ng Romans 3, verses 21 up to 26. Pagkatapos ipresenta ni Paul yung tema, Paul, yung theme sa Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul first shows why the world desperately needs the righteousness of God. Ang tema, the righteousness of God is revealed. So, ang solusyon, ano yun? Nandun sa Romans 3, 21 to 26. So, itong nasa gitna, dito ipapakita ni Pablo bakit kailangan ng tao ang righteousness of God. Yung na-assign sa akin na passage is Romans chapter 3 verses 9 up to 20. But that is already the conclusion. Conclusion ito ng lahat nitong turo niya regarding condemnation. So, nasa dulo yun. Kaya, bago ko ipaliwanag itong dulo na to, nitong section na to, kailangan balikan ko muna yung previous verses. Kaya ngayon, hindi lang ako tututok sa Romans 3, 9 to 20. I have to explain first. Ano ba yung nangyari sa Romans 1, 18 up to Romans chapter 3, verse 8? Kaya doon ko igugugol ang ilang panahon bago ko tutukan yung text ko na Romans 3, 9 up to 20. Now, Pagkatapos ni Paul banggitin ang kanyang tema, Romans 1, 16 and 17, the very first thing we notice pagpasok ng Romans 1, 18 is the opening word. Sabi niya, for. Anong significance on? The word for is a conjunction dito sa text na to that explains why people need righteousness. So he talked about ang theme, the righteousness of God. And then Romans 1:18. For, sabi niya, for the wrath of God, sabi doon, is revealed from heaven. So ang ibig sabihin, sinasabi ni Paul, people need the righteousness of God because of the wrath of God. Doon nagsimula si Pablo. Sabi niya, kailangan natin itong righteousness na galing sa Diyos dahil sa galit ng Panginoon. As I said a while ago, this is not how people begin their gospel today. Oftentimes, when we start sharing with an unbeliever, Christians want to begin with something like this. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Yun ang maalala ng marami. But I just want to say, that is not how Paul began his gospel. He did not begin with God's love. He began with God's wrath. Galit ng Diyos. Walter Chantry, in his book, Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic? And I quote, ito sabi niya, thousands of sinners think of God as having only one attribute, love. Though that is part of the truth, when it is taken for the whole truth, it becomes a lie. When you tell a stranger, God loves you, his mind registers something like this. Oh yes, he loves me and would never harm me. He loves me with forgiving and merciful kindness. So all is well with my soul. Yun ang takbo sa isipan. Lalo na ang sabi niya na dito ni Walter Chantry, sabi niya, in the concept of the average American and Filipino, ganun na rin, there is no idea that God is holy. Only a perverted concept that he has a gushy, all-embracing kindness. Modern evangelism, sabi niya, is helping to foster this misconception of God by its silence and vagueness. To say to a rebel, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, is terribly misinforming. The truth is that God is holy. Thus, he is angry with the sinner at this moment. His sword of wrath already hangs over the head of the guilty and will forever torment him unless he repents and trusts Christ. This plan is not so wonderful. God's redeeming love for sinners is found only in Christ, and the sinner is out of Christ. End of quote. And these are things that we need to think about. Minsan ganun eh. Nami-misunderstand nila. Sabi mo sa Katoliko, alam mo, mahal ka ng Panginoon Diyos. Oh, alam ko nga, mahal nga ako ng Panginoon eh. Parang hindi, sandali lang. Sabi nga ng Bible, hindi, galit ang Panginoon Diyos sa'yo. Yun ang kailangan niya maintindihan. He has to really understand that. Or else, hindi niya makita ang dahilan. Why should I receive Jesus Christ? According to Romans 1:18, God's wrath is revealed from heaven and is directed towards all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Sa dalawang area, bumabagsak ang tao eh. Bumabagsak ang tao sa area ng godliness and unrighteousness. What are the two greatest commandments if it's summarized? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love others as you love yourself. The first aspect is related to godliness. And so kahit anong kabutihan ang pinapakita mo sa iba, atheist ka, kunyari, no? Ang bait mo dito, matulungin ka sa ganyan, ang dami mong mga pagtulong na ginagawa sa kanila, pero pag tinanong katungkol sa Panginoon Diyos, hindi ako naniniwala sa Diyos. Ayoko ng Diyos, na sinasabi ng mga Kristiyano. Ano yung meron doon? Sabihin na lang natin, meron kang righteousness, pero wala kang godliness. Ang galit ng Panginoon Diyos ay dahil doon. May mga iba naman, claim ng claim na sila ay Christian, mahal nila si God, worship ng worship. Wala naman righteousness. Wala naman silang kabutihan. May pera sila, nakakita silang nangangailangan ng tulong, hindi man lang makabunot na wallet para magbigay ng pera para tulungan ng iba. So, dapat nandito yung dalawa. At sabi dito, kaya pinapakita ni Lord ang galit niya sa lahat because of the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is the reason why we need a righteousness that is outside of us. This is why Jesus Christ, we need Him as Savior and Mediator and Lord. Dahil lahat ng tao have fallen short of God's standard. Walang sino man sa atin ang nagko-conform dito sa holy and perfect character ng Panginoon. We are all ungodly and we are all unrighteous. So yan ang kanyang general statement dito sa Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Now, ito yung general statement niya. Ulitin natin, ano? Sabi niya sa Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, etc. So ngayon, ang gagawing sunod ni Paul is, he has to explain. Kailangan niya ngayon ipaliwanag in detail bakit ang lahat ng tao ay nasasa ilalim nitong general statement na ito. Bakit lahat ng tao deserve the wrath of God and need the righteousness of God? So, how does Paul now explain this? Now, please take note, no? Ang ginagawa natin, hindi lang tayo bubunot na isang portion and then kwento, paliwanag, etc. Kailangan makita muna yung buong litrato eh. Kasi remember, this is Paul arguing. Gumagamit siya ng logic, systematic siya. Kailangan makita natin yung buong litrato muna. What is the Apostle Paul doing here? Pagkatapos ng tema, general statement, lahat ng tao kailangan ng righteousness dahil sila nasa sa ilalim ng galit ng Panginoon. Now he has to prove bakit lahat ng tao kasama doon. And the first thing he does is he shows those who are openly hostile to God and wicked. And then later on, papakita niya bakit pati yung mga moralists are under the wrath of God. And then later on, papakita niya why even the religious are under the wrath of God. So una, he begins with those who are openly wicked and hostile to God. They are the Gentiles. So now, dito sa Romans 1, 19 to 32, yun ang unang grupo ng mga tao na pinakita niya. The wrath of God is revealed against pagans who are openly hostile to God. Romans 1, 19 to 32. Sabi ni Paul, God has left evidences of His existence and attributes in nature which should have led man to turn to God in worship and thanksgiving. But instead, ano ginawa ng tao? The man suppressed the truth, distorted their understanding of God, and worshiped creation rather than the Creator. Dahil dito sa willful ignorance ng Diyos, God gave them over to the very sins they have chosen for themselves. Alam niyo, nung binabasa ko nga ito, what I realized is, there is no real atheist. There's no real atheist. Tapos sabi dito ng Bible, alam ng mga tao eh, when you look at nature, diba? You have creation because you have a creator. Sabi nga lang, you have a painting because there's a painter. No, painter. No, kaya may ganun eh. When you look at the order, when you look at all of these things, ako nga minsan nag-iisip lang ako eh. Ito lang katawan natin. Diba? People have been trying to parang advance itong technology related sa artificial intelligence. Gagawa sila ng robot para lang maglakad. Yung robot, hirap na hirap sila para palakarin yung robot. Tinan yung ginawa ng Panginoong Diyos, yung ating mga kamay. Titingnan mo lang itong mga daliring ito, bakit may mga kuko, para may pangkamot ka, may pang ganun, may pang ganyan, para yung buhok, mahawakan mo ng ganun. Isipin ko lang, ang galing ng Diyos. Pag nagsusuot ako ng aking pantalon, grabe, si Lord, pati dito, naabot ko ng ganyan. Eh, ang tao, para gumawa lang ng kamay na makakagawa nun, sobrang hirap. Saan galing ito? O ano ginawa ng tao? He suppressed the truth. There are no atheists. What are there? there are only suppressors of truth. Sabi ng Bible, alam nila na may Diyos. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Yan ang sabi ng Bible. Kaya walang totoong atheist. Alam nila. Pati yung mga atheist, pagka madidisgrasya, Diyos ko po, tulungan niyo po ako. Napa-Diyos ko po. There's something in a person's heart that tells him, there's a supreme being. Okay, nung natapos na si Paul doon, the Gentiles deserve God's wrath. Sunod, the moralists also deserve God's wrath. So he moves on to another group of people. There are others who say, itong moralists, they're under Jews. Pero just to make it more systematic, I put this under moralists, whether they are Gentiles or Jews. Ang feeling ng mga moralists, they are exempted from God's purpose to punish all sin because anyway, gumagawa naman kami ng mabuti. Pag kinumpir namin yung sarili namin, kumpara dito sa mga lantarang mga Gentiles na to na open in their sin, aba, mas mabait naman kami. So maybe we're exempted from the wrath of God. But Paul shows here na kahit na mas mataas ang kanilang standard of morality, but they also fail to live up to those standards. And so, yung guilt niya is even greater than the pagans. Dahil yung mga pagans, minsan hindi nila alam yun. Pero yung mga nagkiklaim na, alam namin ito, alam mo na nga, binaviolate mo pa. So, pati sila, under din ng galit ng Diyos. Yung mga moralists. And then, finally, yung mga Hudyo who are religious, who have the Word of God, who have all of these privileges and blessings from God. In chapter 2, yung mga moralists, chapter 2, verses 1 up to 16, ang focus nun. Ngayon, itong mga Jews, or you may say the religious, in chapter 2, verse 17, up to chapter 3, verse 8. Dito ipapakita ni Paul na pati yung mga pious and religious Jews deserve the wrath of God. Itong mga Hudyo who thought they were superior to the Gentiles, they judged and looked down upon the Gentiles because of their special privileges from God. They claimed to be descendants of Abraham. They had the law. They had circumcision, which was the mark that they belonged to God as His covenant people. Pero naging problema rito ang kanilang tingin because of these privileges, automatically they're saved. And so Paul deals with them by showing them that mere possession of the law, hindi dahil binigay sa kanila yung law, automatically that will save them. Their disobedience to the written law exposes them to the wrath of God. So, tinamaan na yung tatlo. Nandun na yung openly sinful, mga Gentiles, nandun na yung moralists, nandun na yung mga Hudyo. So now, the conclusion. Kaya yun yung text natin, Romans 3, 9 to 20. And the conclusion is, that is why the whole world deserves God's wrath because all are under sin. Lahat. Tinan nyo yung conclusion niya. Yun ang ngayon tututukan natin. Sabi niya sa Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Ito, nagko-conclude na siya. So ano ngayon na masasabi natin? Are the Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. So, kinukonclude na niya eh. Habi ko sa lahat na nasabi ko at binapakita ko ngayon sa inyo, lahat, whether Jew or Gentile, whether moralist or religious, they are all under sin. Yan ang condition ng lahat ng tao, walang exempted. And when Paul says that all are under sin, it means apart from Christ, every human being is under the power and dominion of sin. He is polluted by sin and is subject to the wrath and the final judgment of God. Lahat ng tao, again, walang exempted. And then, what does Paul do? As usual, Hudyo siya. He would confirm his statement using Scripture. So, yun ang kanyang ginawa. Sunod, Paul now quotes several Old Testament scriptures to confirm this. Parang minsan, ginagawa natin. No? Ginagawa ko. Sabihin ko yung principle, sabihin ko, ito sabi ng Bible, ito sabi ng verse na to, ito sabi ng verse na to. That's what Paul is doing. Sabi niya, ito ang conclusion, ito ang kwan. Everyone's under sin, Jew or Gentile. Okay, now, here is my support. Ito sabi ng Bible. And Paul quotes from Psalms, from Proverbs, and from the prophets in order to confirm his statement that all, universally without a single exception, whether it's the so-called good people, the very best people, the nicest people, as well as the worst and the most vile, they are all under sin. O yan. So, kukuha na siya ng iba't ibang mga verses. Now, ito magaling kay Paul. Si Paul, nung humugot siya ng iba't ibang mga verses from different portions of the Old Testament, he had a definite system in mind. Hindi lang siya pulot dito, hugot dyan, and then ginawang parang champurado o ginawang halo-halo at sige, paghalu-haluin natin ito. Hindi. Merong order si Paul. Ano ginawa niya? First, he gives us a general description of man under sin. Yung mga verses na may relationship doon. Pangalawa, he refers to particular acts of sin. And then pangatlo, he shows us the cause of those sinful acts. So tingnan nyo una, general description of man under sin, chapter 3, verses 10 up to 12. Una, pinakita niya, man is morally corrupt. Quoting from Psalm 14, verse 3, sabi niya, none is righteous, no, not one. Wala. So lahat, they are morally corrupt. Tayong mga tao, we want to admit, of course, nobody is perfect, but they will not admit nobody is righteous. 1 Kings 8:46 says, there is no one who does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Wala. We're morally corrupt, all of us. Sunod, man is blinded. No one understands, sabi ni Paul. Now, this does not mean na hindi natin maiintindihan kung ano yung gospel. An unbeliever can understand the gospel. An unbeliever who takes a theology class may even get a perfect in the exam. Pero ano sinasabi dito, no one understands? Wala siyang impact sa kanya. O, naintindihan niya, Jesus Christ died for the sins of men. Kaya niyang sagutin at ipaliwanag yung sinasabi mo na ito, definition ng justification, ng propitiation. Pero para sa kanya, walang dating yun. Yun ang ibig sabihin dito, no one understands. In fact, baka sa kanya, kung tatanungin mo talaga sa kanyang puso, nai-iskandalo siya. Para na rin, balik na rin lang natin, no? Parang isang Christian na nag-aral sa Catholic school, Ateneo, tapos ang professor niya dun sa isang subject na theology, pare. Nung nag-take siya ng exam, na-perfect niya yung exam. Gulat yung pare. Di ba protestante ka? Di ba born again ka? Opo, father. O bakit mo na-perfect ito? Eh, nag-aaral ako, father. Ang tanong sunod, naniniwala ka ba doon? Hindi, father, of course. O parang ganun din doon sa kabaliktaran naman, no? People may understand the gospel, but it has no spiritual significance to them. And I think this is what it means when it says, no one understands. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. He does not spiritually apprehend itong mga truths na to. Walang dating sa kanyang puso. Hindi siya naluluha. Hindi siya nasasarapan sa napakagandang mga salita na may connection sa Ebanghelyo. Walang dating. So yun ang ibig sabihin ni Paul, his mind is blinded. Third, his will is not directed towards God. Sabi dito, no one seeks for God. Alam niyo noon, hindi ko matanggap ito eh. No one seeks for God. Eh, hindi, ako. I was seeking for God. Nung pumasok ako sa Catholic seminary, bata ko nandun, I was seeking for God. Nung lumabas ako dun sa seminary and then nag-transcendental meditation ako, bata ko napunta dun, I was seeking for God. But you know, if I were to be honest, I was not really seeking for God. Paano ako napasok sa Catholic seminary? Because noong inorient kami doon, ano pinakita sa amin nung nag-o-orient? Ang ganda ng basketball court dito. May swimming pool dito. Masaya dito. O kaya ako gustong pumasok sa seminary. And then, nung elementary ako, lagi ako napapalo ni Papa. Kaya feeling ko, pag napasok ako sa seminary, hindi na ako mapapalo. Kasi nandun ka madalas eh. Stay in ka sa loob ng seminary. Yun ang dahilan. O pangalawa, ba't ako napunta ng TM? Was it because I was looking for God? No. Eh bakit? Eh kasi si Papa, kailangan siyang masunod. Pag sinabi niya, okay, TM naman tayo ngayon. Whether you like it or not, you join TM. But also, because of the promises of TM. If you do this, you will reach your highest potential. Ito mangyari sa iyo, magiging matalino ka, magiging magaling ka, gaganda ang buhay mo. Oh, syempre gusto ko, but it's all related to me. They're all selfish. I was not seeking for God. I was seeking for my good so that I will become like God. Eh, yun naman ang sinasabi ni Maharishi eh. You will, when you do meditation and the seed, yung deeper kind of meditation, reciting your mantra, you will reach God consciousness. Actually, he's using those terms. I will become like God. So I wasn't really seeking for God. Kaya tama ito sinasabi ni Paul. Dagdag niya, all have turned aside. No? Lumayo tayong lahat. Together we have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Kaya nga sabi ng Isaiah 64 verse 6, we have all become like one who is unclean and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Pati yung paggawa natin mabuti, dahil ito ay galing sa isang root source that is polluted, lahat ng good works natin is polluted. No one really does good for the honor and glory of God alone. That's why Paul says, no one does good, not even one. So remember, this is all Paul referring to the general description of man under sin. Yung mga verses na ginamit niya, it's in order to present that. And then he shows a second set of verses. And he now refers to particular sins in speech and actions. Kaya tingnan nyo, look at the particular sins that relate to speech. Sabi niya, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Again, maaring sabihin na, hindi mo ganyan ng tao. Ay, alam ko ang mga tao, pag nagsalita, magalang, very respectful, may kilala akong doktor na talagang masyado magalang, doktor na yon. Wait for the doctor to be under pressure during an operation. Pag grabe yung pressure at nagkamali yung kanyang assistant, nako, may mga lalabas na mga salitang maaanghang sa kanyang bibig. Ang isang gentle, kunwari na isang tao, pag nag-drive siya at siningitan siya ng isang motorsiklo, na montik siyang madisgrasya at kailangan ipreno niya bigla, may lalabas sa kanyang bibig na mga maaanghang na mga salita. Yun tayong lahat. That is our tendency. Hintayin mo na may mangyaring pressure and then lalabas ang talagang kung anong laman ng puso mo. Look at the particular sins that relate to action. Sabi dito, their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. All we need to do is to listen to the daily news on crime, corruption, wars, murders, and it proves na itong tatlong statement na ito ay talagang totoo. Hindi lamang nung panahon ni Isaiah where these words are quoted from, this is true today. Yan ang sitwasyon nating lahat. Pagdating sa general description natin, we are worthless, we are morally corrupt, we're not seeking for God, we're spiritually blind. In specific sins, in our speech, in our actions, ang consequences, we bring about misery, we bring about all of these problems in society because of our sins. Now, what is the reason for those specific sins? Again, quoting, sabi niya, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Fear of God here means no reverence for God, no devotion towards Him. We don't honor Him. We don't obey Him. We're not afraid of His wrath. Men and women act as if there were no God, no being to whom they will be accountable for their conduct. There's no higher power to punish them for their sins. So yan ang ginagawa ni Paul ngayon. He's putting all together these Old Testament verses to support his conclusion that all humanity is under sin. Naulitin ko, hindi ibig sabihin ito na bawat tao, ginawa niya lahat itong mga karumal-dumal na krimen na to na nababalitaan natin mula sa mga kriminal o mula sa ganito o ganyang mga tao. Hindi. Well, it could be na nagawa nila yon, pero ang gustong ipakita rito ni Paul is, tayong lahat, meron tayong tendency to commit those sins. Given due provocation, right circumstances, and the removal of restraints provided by society to limit murderous acts, we are all capable of murder and we will murder just as others have. Lalo ko, a few weeks ago, I was invited by a friend kumain sa isang restaurant after church service. Pagpunta ko dun sa restaurant yun, together with my family, I brought my car along. I was looking for the one who invited me. Sabi, nasaan na si brother ganito? Tinawagan ko, Brad, asan ka na? Ay, sorry, pastor, hindi pala dyan sa restaurant. Yung kabila palang restaurant. So, malapit lang naman, pwede malakad, tatawid lang across the street. So, may nakita akong bakante na space. Eh, yung car ko, na-park ko na dun sa unang restaurant, sa harap niya. So, gagawin ko lang, ilang metro lang, didiretso lang ako para makapasok ako dun sa vacant space na yon. So, sinabihan ko yung anak ko, anak, bantayan mo na dyan, tumayo ka na dyan. Kukunin ko lang yung kotse para makapark ako habang wala pang pumapasok. So, tumayo anak ko dun. Maya-maya, nung malapit na ako, may biglang naka-Ford Explorer na pumasok. Tapos, parang sasagasaan pa niya yung anak ko. E di, tumabi yung anak ko. Sabi ko, anak, sabihin mo, nandito na ako. So, naghihintay siya nakausapin yung driver. Sabi niya sa akin, pa, sabi ng driver sa akin, eh, bakit taong nagpapareserve? Depende kung nauna sa sakyan, yun ang una, hindi pwedeng tao. Paano kaya kung misis ko yung nandun na nakatayo? Sasagasaan din kaya niya? Pero ang point ko nung ginawa niyo, sabi ko, oh, anong ginawa mo anak? Sabi niya, pa, alam mo, galit na galit talaga ako. Gusto kong hampasin, gusto kong may gawin doon sa kanyang kotse. Nung nalaman ko rin yon, ako naman, iniisip ko, ano kaya kung mag-park kaya ako doon sa tabi ng driver seat niya na nakadikit, pag labas na niya, pumunta doon sa restaurant, and then, pagbalik niya, makita niya nandun yung kotse ko, hindi niya mabuksan, sino ba gumawa nito? Tapos maalala niya ako, tapos hanapin niya ako, sabihin ko, oh, bakit pare, anong problema? Anyway, naisip ko lang yon. Pero, sabi ko sa sarili ko, sabi ko, asama ako. What was I doing? I was no different from the rest. I was a murderer. Kasi sa isipan ko, pagka ginano niya yung anak ko, bubungguin ko rin talaga siya. Parang yun na nasa isipan ko, parang saan galing lahat ng ito? Pinapakita lang nito, napakasama ko rin given merong mga bagay na nangyari dito sa mundo that can really provoke you to anger. No wonder makakakita tayo ng mga road rage na parang simpleng kasalanan lang, babarilin niya ng 10, bang, 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 talagang galit na galit. Bakit? May mga bagay na nakaka-provoke sa ating lahat. Merong mga bagay na nasasabi ng misis mo na nagtitimpi ka na ng matagal, hindi nasabi niya yun, baka nasama niya yung nanay mo sa usapan, puputok ka na talaga, talagang hindi mo na mapigilan. Na sabihin, ba't kayo nagkahiwalay? Dahil lang sa isang bagay na napakaliit sa tingin ng marami. And this is the point of Paul. All of us have that tendency. Lahat tayo. Of course, I repented of my sin when I realized that. And I said, Lord, I will not even entertain that thought. Because mali yun eh, kasalanan ng Panginoon eh. But this is the point of Paul. All of us are sinners. Now, akala ko pagkatapos ng sabihin ni Paul ito, na-prove na niya that the Gentiles, that the moralists, that the religious Jews are all under sin, and then he supported it with scripture. Sabi ko, ayan, papasok na siya sa good news. Ito na yung gospel. Sabihin na niya na, ito ngayon, kaya kailangan natin ng faith kay Jesus Christ. Pero hindi pa rin natapos si Paul. Nagpasok pa siya nitong verses 19 to 20 to talk about the law. Bakit pinasok na naman yun? Ito lang ang palagay ko. Perhaps the reason why Paul inserts the law here is because he is anticipating an objection from others who may be thinking, Siguro isipin lang, well, if everyone is under the wrath of God, then why did God give the law? Di ba kaya nga binigay ni Lord yung law niya so that we'll have a standard, so that we could know God's will and thus live accordingly and then have a good relationship with God? Di ba kaya niya binigay yung law na yon? And Paul begins to respond to that anticipated objection by explaining the purpose of the law. Sabi niya, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Nung sinabi niyang, now we know, he is saying, it is a thing that is plain in itself. It is universally accepted. Ano yung universally accepted? Ano yung plain to common sense? Ano yung hindi na natin dapat pinag-aawayan? That those who possess the law, those who are under the authority of the law, those who are being addressed by the law, are responsible to obey the law. Ang tanong, is this talking about the law of God and addressing only the Jews? Many commentaries say that. Pero when I thought about it, I think it really doesn't matter. I think Paul, maybe in his mind, nung sinabi niyang, now we know that whatever the law says, whether it is the Old Testament law or the Pentateuch, or whether it is the law of Moses addressed to the Jew. So para sa Jew, ito yun. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those under the law. So para sa Hudyo, it's the law of Moses or the Old Testament. But that can also be true to the Gentiles who do not have the Old Testament scriptures. They have the law of God written in their hearts. And so they are also bound to obey whatever their conscience tells them. If they violate it, their conscience is going to charge them and say, mali yung ginawa mo, kasalanan yung ginawa mo, lagot ka sa Panginoon. O pag ginawa nila tama, approve, very good, okay. So ganun din, they are also bound. Those, whatever the law says, whether to the Jew or whether to the Gentile, if it's the Jew, the word of God, or if it's the Gentile, the word of God or the law of God written in their hearts, it speaks to them who are under that law. It binds them to obey it. So yun ang sinasabi ni Paul dito. So now, he explains the purposes of God in giving the law. And there are three things that he says here. Sabi niya, first, the reason binigay sa atin ng law ng Panginoon, so that every mouth may be stopped. Yun ang purpose ng law. Para hindi mo sabi, mabait naman ako. Okay naman ako. Ganito, ganyan. Pag naintindihan mo yung law, you will discover you have no excuse, you have no defense, you have nothing to say against the charge of sin. Yung Pharisee who was ready to speak and say, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, adulterers, etc., etc., and like this tax collector, I fast twice a week, I give all of my tithes, and etc. Yung ganun magsalita, pag naintindihan niya yung law, he will be silenced. Yung tao, like the rich young ruler, who said, Lord, I have obeyed all of these commands since I was young. Pag pinaliwanag ni Jesus Christ ng mabuti yung law sa kanya, ano mangyari sa kanya? Matatahimik siya and he will live grieving in his heart because he really loves his money more than God. Isn't that the first law? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and etc. And it appears like this young ruler loved his possessions and wealth more than God. So he was committing idolatry. So ano nangyari sa kanya? Tahimik. Hindi na siya makapagsalita. Second reason why God gave the law, to make the whole world accountable to God. To show that all men are guilty before God. The final reason why God gave the law is to show that we are sinners. Sabi ng verse 20, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Natitrigger ang kasalanan sa atin with laws. Parang ang laging ginagamit kong illustration noon is, halimbawa, merong butas dito sa wall, dito sa likod natin. Hindi natin papansinin yon. Pero pag may nakalagay na paskil dun sa ilalim, bawal ang sumilip dito. Ano nangyayari? Parang, ano meron doon? Gusto mo suwayin? Gusto mo suwayin? Ano makikita dito? Ano nagagawa ng law? It brings out sin in our hearts. It shows we are all sinners. Papakita na kasalanan, or papakita na kasalanan pala. Noon, akala mo, okay lang yung covetousness, walang problema sa ganito, until the law is revealed, and you realize, mali pala yun. Parang yung galit sa yung puso, tingin ng iba, wala mong problema dito sa ginagawa ko. Tingin ng iba, wala mong problema dito sa pornography, until Jesus Christ explained the law, and He says, you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Parang, wait, pati pala pag tumingin ako ng porn, kasalanan na pala yan. Pagka pala tumingin ako ng ganito na may masamang pagnanasa, wala man akong relasyon ginawa sa kanya. Sa mata ng Panginoon, you have already committed adultery. You've heard it was said, you shall not commit murder, but anyone who's angry with his brother is worthy to face the courts. Anyone who says raka will face judgment. Anyone who says all of these things is worthy to go to hell. Sabi ng 1 John, anyone who is angry with his brother doesn't have eternal life in him. So when you realize that, when you know the true intention of the law, matatahimik ka. Sabi mo, oy, kasalanan pala yun. Wala ka na. Wala ka masabi. Now you say, pati pala ako accountable before God. And so that is what the law does. It silences man so that he is rendered without excuse and he is held accountable to God. He is exposed to God's judgment because of sin. And this is our great problem. Yan ang problema natin. We have provoked God to anger. That is the reason why we need the righteousness of God, because only in that way can we be reconciled to this thrice holy God. Inarinig natin kanina from Pastor Eric. Holy, holy, holy. Hindi lang isang holy eh. Holy, holy, that even the archangels and the seraphim and the cherubim have to cover their faces with their wings, because despite sa tingin natin they're already pure and perfect, may nakikita pa rin ang Panginoon Diyos na pagkukulang sa kanila, and maybe it's a manifestation of their shame before the absolutely perfect God. So, yun ngayon ang problema. So now, how can we be right in terms of our relationship with God? That is the issue. And that is why Paul is saying, kaya ninyo kailangan itong righteousness of God. This righteousness of God is revealed. Lahat ng tao, kailangan itong righteousness na galing sa Panginoon Diyos, because everyone is under sin and everyone is under the wrath of God. And don't say, but I'm obeying the law, because when you understand the law, you realize you fall short of real obedience to the law of God. So now, as I mentioned, how will this help us? This is going to affect our evangelism. We should now reevaluate how we share the gospel. As I said, Paul does not begin his exposition on the gospel and the righteousness of God with John 3:16 or with a God loves you and has a wonderful purpose or plan for your life. Because sometimes that would lend to much misunderstanding. But as I said, yeah, you could use John 3:16, but do not forget that the promise of salvation has an implied threat. If you do not believe in Christ, you will perish. Anyone who does not believe in the Son of God, the wrath of God remains on him. Meron nang nakasabit na sword of Damocles over his head, the wrath of God laging nakasabit doon. And anytime the thread that holds that thing, mapuputol yon, and it'll kill you. And you'll go to hell. In an instant, it could happen. So we start off with that idea. Our greatest need is not healing or prosperity or success. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to God in order to be delivered from His wrath. And we will only be delivered from that wrath if we put our faith in Christ, the mediator. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God by ourselves whom we have offended. Christ must do it. His righteousness, which is perfect, yung sinabi ni God the Father sa kanya, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," that righteousness of Christ must be ours. His perfect righteousness must be imputed. It must be put into our account so that God the Father will also tell us, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." So don't lose sight of what Paul has just done here. After he presents the theme of his gospel, that the gospel is about the revelation of God's righteousness, he shows us why humanity needs this righteousness that can only be given by God. Yan ang kailangan natin. And this is how evangelism should begin. By the way, this is the reason why I agree with the approach of Ray Comfort. In his approach of evangelism, he calls the way of the Master. The Master is Jesus Christ. His way is, the way of the Master is based on the Gospels that talk about one day there was a rich young ruler who came to him to ask him what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life. And Jesus Christ's approach in evangelism, in evangelizing the young ruler, is to present to him the commandments. Sabi ng young ruler, "I obeyed all of them since I was young." But Jesus gave him another command, to sell all that he had and give to the poor. Hindi binanggit ni Jesus Christ yung you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, etc. But Jesus lays down that commandment by way of application. If you truly love God more than all of your possessions and comfort, then you will be willing to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom. But the rich man wanted to enjoy both worlds. He wanted to be in the kingdom of God and at the same time enjoy the kingdom of the world. Hindi niya talaga mahal ang Panginoon. And so Jesus gave the law to silence him, to make him feel that he is exposed to the condemnation of God because of his love for material prosperity. And if we want to make a person conscious that he is a sinner, we must learn to present the law to him to show that he has failed God's commands and thus bring conviction. And when God gives me the opportunity to share the gospel sa mga taxi driver, I often begin with the two diagnostic questions of EE. Have you come to a point in your spiritual life where you know for certain that when you die, you'll go straight to heaven? Naisip mo na ba yon? Madalas, of course, yung taxi drivers, hindi ko pa naisip yon. O kung sakali man ikaw ay namatay, at kumatok ka sa pintuan ng langit, at binuksan ni Jesus Christ at tinanong niya, sabihin ko yung pangalan niya, kunyari, Jerry. Jerry, ba't naman kita papapasukin dito sa kariang ko? Ano sabihin mo? Napapaisip talaga sila. Tapos mamaya sabihin nila, palagay ko naman mapupunta ako doon dahil sa mga mabuti kong ginawa, ganito, ganyan. Kasi hindi naman ako pumapatay ng tao, lagi naman ako nagpe-pray everyday. Paminsan-minsan nakakagawa ako ng kasalanan, pero hindi man tulad ng iba. And then that's when I begin to present the law. Sa utak ko, may summary na ako ng Ten Commandments . Diba? Yun. Shall love, you shall have no other gods before me. Don't make idols. Tapos yung 3, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Tapos yung 4, parang bahay. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Tapos yung 5, nanay, tatay, at tatlong anak. Honor your father and your mother. Then yung ika-anim, parang bomba, na you shall not kill. Tapos yung 7, naalala ko yung 7-11, nagkita yung lalaki at babae doon, di man sila mag-asawa. You shall not commit adultery. Tapos yung 8, dalawang bilog, para magnanakaw, you shall not steal. Tapos yung 9, sounds like lying. And so, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then ika-10, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So, isa-isahin ko yun, papakita ko sa kanya quickly. And then now he realizes, makasalanan pala siya. And then I tell him, halimbawa, Brad, ikaw, may kriminal na talagang grabe yung kasalanan niya. Kasi sinabi niya, naghimingi naman ako ng tawad sa Panginoon. But I want to show him, it is not enough to say to God, I'm sorry, because God is good. In what sense? If you have a judge who is really good, Pag may isang kriminal na gumawa ng kasamaan, ng karumal-dumal na krimen, at pumunta siya sa judge, sabi niya, "Judge, I'm really sorry, hindi ko na talaga ulitin yung, patawarin mo ako." And the judge says, "Good, I forgive you. Hindi na kita ikukulong. Okay na lahat yung capital punishment mo. Wala na yun. Kinakalimutan ko na yun. Pinapatawad na kita." Ano mararamdaman ng mga tao? That judge is even more corrupt than the criminal. Yung ganong klaseng huwes ang dapat kinukulong. Kasi ang sama niya. Sabi ko, ganun din sa Panginoon Diyos. God is just. He will have to punish you because of your sins. That's the bad news. But here is the good news. But God also loves us. Doon palang pumapasok yung God's love. Dahil mahal din tayo ng Panginoon, kaya niya pinadala si Jesus Christ. Para si Jesus ang umako ng ating kasalanan at lahat ng parusa ng Diyos, ibagsak kay Jesus. Kaya yung nakapako si Jesus, sabi niya, my God, why have you forsaken me? Wala akong kasalanan. Kumbaga, but it was because Jesus is taking upon Himself our sins. And also, the wrath of God was poured upon Him. Kumbaga, may double imputation na nangyari. Because of what Christ has done, our sins are imputed to Him. But because of our faith in Christ, His righteousness is imputed to us. Meron ganong klaseng transaction. That is the reason why we can be forgiven. And so I tell the person, there are two things you need to do in order to be saved. That lagi kong kinukwento, remember the criminal na nakapako, kadalasan kausap ko, katoliko kasi lagi may mga rosary doon sa harap na salamin nila. Diba? Kaya ganito. And then I will explain dalawang ginawa ng criminal. Una, he repented. Na explain how he repented. He admitted, "We are here being punished by the Lord because we deserve this, but this man has done nothing wrong," sabi niya sa kasama niya isang kriminal. Then the second thing that he did, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Hindi ibig sabihin nun, parang nang tatakbo si Duterte para magtumakbo ng presidente, yung mayor pa yun ng Davao, may mayamang lumapit sa kanya, sabi, "Mayor, etong 5 million ha, pero pag nanalo ka, remember me ha." Hindi yun ang ibig sabihin nun. No, kasi yung ganong klaseng remember me, pinagmamalaki mo pa yung good works mo. Ang sinasabi ng criminal, "Lord, kung hindi mo ako alalahanin, wala na akong ibang patutunguhan kundi impyerno. Kasi makasalanan talaga ako." Hindi niya sinisisi ibang tao. He admitted he is a sinner. And sabihin ko dun sa taxi driver, "You have to admit you are a sinner before God. Pero you have to put your trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior." And that is the way of the Master in a sense. Now, I want to close with these words from different authors. No? Alam nyo, I'm really sorry. Some people don't like me doing this. Ang dami-dami mga quotations. Pero as I mentioned a while ago during the divided sessions conducted, yung isang kwan by Brother Alan Luciano, I want also to introduce my friends, my mentors, my teachers. So this is the reason why I would quote people. Sabi nga, si MacArthur, ito sabi niya. Si ganito, ito sabi niya. So yung mga tao, hindi lang nakatingin sa akin, kundi alam mo, may mga tao palang maayos na pwede silang madirect doon and they'll learn from them a lot better. They're much, much better than me in terms of my grasp of Scripture. So I hope you understand kung babasahin ko to say. Now, tinan niyo tong isa. From Will Metzger in his book, Tell the Truth. Etong ganda na sabi niya. Francis Schaeffer was once asked the question, "What would you do if you met a really modern man on a train and you had just an hour to talk to him about the gospel?" Di ba, may nakasakay ka, modern na modern tong taong ito. Tapos nakasakay mo siya sa train. Meron kang isang oras para makipag-usap sa kanya. Anong sasabihin mo sa kanya tungkol sa Ebanghelyo? He replied, sabi ni Francis Schaeffer, "I've said over and over, I would spend 45 to 50 minutes on the negative to really show him his dilemma, that he is morally dead. Then I would take 10 to 15 minutes to preach the gospel. I believe that much of our evangelistic and personal work today is not clear simply because we are too anxious to get to the answer. without having a man realize the real cause of his sickness, which is true moral guilt in the presence of God. Parang may isang taong lumapit sa iyo na may sakit, biglang doktor ka, sinabi mo kagad, nako, kailangan mong inumin tong gamot na to, kailangan ito, pero napakamahal na to, pero ibinibigay ko na lang sa'yo dahil naawa ko sa'yo, kawawa ka naman, inumin mo to, inumin mo 3 times a day, inumin mo na 1 buwan. Tingin lang sa'yo yung may sakit, sabihin nyo, eh bakit? Hindi niya nakikita yung need for it. Kahit ano sabi mo, you need Jesus, eh bakit? Pero once, yung may sakit na yon, tinignan mo na mabuti, nakita mo yung mata niya, dilaw, yung kabilang mata, namumula, may problema kang malaki. Teka muna, itetest kita, and then after ng result, ng testings, barrage of tests, sinabi mo sa kanya, I have to tell you the bad news. Lahat ng pasyente ko na nakita ko na ganyan ang kondisyon katulad mo, in 1 week's time, patay. Merong studies ang napakaraming medical journals na sinasabi nila ito ang sakit mo and every test that I've used para daanan mo, confirm, ito talaga sakit mo, mamamatay ka. Dok, ano gagawin ko? Pero tama timing mo. Buti na lang, may sample akong natanggap dito sa ano na to eh. Ito, actually, ang mahal nitong tabletang ito, 1,000,000 ang isang tableta lang. Pero bibigay ko sa iyo ng libre. Dok, sige na, akin na yan. Diba? Gustong-gusto na niyang kunin. Pero pag sinabi mo kagad sa kanya, o ito may gamot, 1,000,000 ang presyo nito. Sabi niya, ah dok, ano ngayon, kahit 1,000,000 yan. Di ko kailangan yan. But when he realizes that he is under condemnation, he is dying, then pag binigay mo sa kanya yung good news, he will say, give that to me. I need it now. I need Jesus Christ now. And so I pray, sana tulungan tayo ng Panginoon Diyos at makita ito and begin to show them, they are sinners. They are under the wrath of God. And when they see that, when they see that God demands perfect righteousness to be reconciled to Him, then the justification of Jesus will now make sense. Kaya pala kailangan ko si Kristo. I want to receive Him. May the Lord really help us to go back to this approach of the Bible in presenting the gospel. And may God honor itong mga efforts na ginagawa natin, na gagawin natin to share Jesus Christ to many people. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We have this guidance from your word, and we're really so thankful that we have a standard to follow. Again, please forgive us for our many methods that fall short of the biblical approach. Lord, please, I pray, touch all of us, O God. Ang sarap pakinggan itong mga narinig namin, but unless we are fully convinced, unless we become like the Bereans, checking scripture always to find out if these things are so, unless we are convinced by your Holy Spirit, na kami mismo, unless these truths become ours and not just borrowed from some other teacher of your word, unless this truly becomes ours, hindi pa rin namin to apply sa aming mga buhay. And so God, Holy Spirit, please move. Have mercy upon us, O God. Panginoon, marami pong salamat at panalangin namin na talaga po sanang magkaroon ng malaking blessing para sa aming lahat itong aming narinig ngayon. Thank you, Lord. This is our prayer through Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.